All right, we'll go to our lesson as in the 20 minutes that we have left. We'll begin. Go as far on the right road as we can, and we won't go anywhere on the wrong road. The wrong road. We're going to be in Daniel 5, 5 through 9. Now, we've all heard the wise saying, those who do not learn from history are doomed to repeat it. History is a very important subject. And there's many lessons to be learned in history. But in our study of chapter 5 of the book of Daniel, we are introduced to a man who, for want of learning of the history of his grandfather Nebuchadnezzar, came to a place of doom in his life. We will learn that King Belshazzar, the king of chapter 5, we will learn that King Belshazzar's punishment was revealed to him by God's hand, writing a message to him on the wall of the banquet hall. What would your reaction be if you saw a hand writing on that wall? Well, I think perhaps our reaction would be the same thing as Nebuchadnezzar. Our knees would begin to shake. We would be speechless. Our mouths would be agape. This is an unheard of thing to take place. All of a sudden, there's a message that is given on the wall. And this is where King Belshazzar learned of his fate. But you know, that message on the wall did not have to be, for this grandson did not learn the lessons of his grandfather Nebuchadnezzar that he had learned and was well known in the kingdom. And you know, each of us has a history that those who come afterward can learn from if they take heed to the lessons learned by another. You know, that's one of the beauties of writing. As you leave for those generations to follow lessons that you've learned in your life. I go to the projector site and I'm just awed by the volume and the content of what is in the projectors since 1972. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And all of those writings were put down by writers, and Dr. Hobbs was such a great contributor to that, an editor of that, and now our pastor is. But writing down what your thoughts are and the lessons that you've learned for future generations is a wonderful thing, and it provides to you and me things that we can learn without having to go through those things that our forebears went through. So we have much to learn from those who came before, and we also have much to teach to those who come after. Your responsibility is to receive the teaching from those that came before and to pass that on to those that come after. You know, that's one of the problems with education today, is that people seem to think that their education of their children can be passed to someone else and they can wash their hands of the education of their children. What a foolish thought that is. Even in Christian schools, you should be careful of your responsibility to teach your children. Only some things can be taught by father and mother. But Belshazzar failed to heed the history and the lessons of his grandfather And because of that lack, he was to suffer death that very night. You know, everything that he needed to know to spare him from divine judgment was his to know. You know, that's true about us, and that's true about everybody in the world. Everything that's needed to know to spare a person from divine judgment is available. God says you're without excuse. Oh, I'm ignorant. Well, ignorance of the law is no excuse. It's all around you. He points to his creation and he says, look at my creation. Didn't that lead you to think that there's something more than yourself? Didn't you see in the glories of the heavens my handiwork or the handiwork of someone which would lead you, I would lead you to my word if it was in your heart to desire it? But everything he needed to know to spare him from divine judgment was his to know, for Nebuchadnezzar's 7-year humiliation, I'm sure, was well known in the kingdom. Don't you suppose that was on everybody's tongue? What an unusual thing for the king of Babylon to be groveling in the field and eating grass, sleeping under the dew as an animal. My, that story was circulated for years, probably written up in journals and all kinds of things to bring to the memory of this grandson, and yet he refused to see or to hear the message from God. Didn't give any heed, didn't give any credence to the experience of another, and he failed to act on what was known from history. You know, foolishness is ignoring the experience of another. My, how we've seen that. People going off and doing foolish things and totally ignoring the experience of another and say, well, that can't happen to me. How foolish. What makes you so important? What makes you so different? What makes you so apart from the judgment of God? But wisdom is believing and acting on the word of another whose word is true, and we are given the history of God's working in the world. We are given to believe that history and to act upon that knowledge, and those who reject the word of God are doomed, for they refuse to learn from the history of others and go about to establish their own history apart from the word of God. You know, you need a history based upon the word of God. When your life is looked back on, is it going to be a history based upon the word of God, or is it going to be a history based upon one of your own making? But you're doomed if it's one of your own making. You know, God had provided light to Belshazzar. He had provided the personal testimony of his grandfather. Remember chapter 4? Remember that letter that was sent to all nations and all peoples? Did you ignore that, Belshazzar? Yeah, Belshazzar ignored it. He had chosen to ignore this history. He had chosen to go down his own path. He had chosen to go down the same path that his grandfather had gone down, the path of pride. And he found the same result, but there was no grace extended to him. He had more light. You know, each one of us has received revelation from God. Some of us have even a godly heritage that cannot be ignored. Those of you that have a godly heritage have more responsibility, have more light than those that don't. Did you know that? You've got to walk over a godly heritage to go into darkness. Some have not had this great gift, but all of us have seen the glory of God in His creation and the glory of God in His Word. And as God held Belshazzar accountable for the light that the experience of Nebuchadnezzar brought, so too will He hold us accountable for what history teaches us. He will hold us accountable for the knowledge of the history of men throughout the centuries, down to the history of our godly heritage, if we have one, and most importantly, the history of His revelation to men that we receive from His Word. We're accountable. My, how we're accountable. No one can go and stand before God on this earth and not be accountable. Now, at the time of this feast, at the time of this drunken orgy, Belshazzar had been the second ruler under his father, Nabonidus, for only 2 years. Now, I'm sure his history of governance was not good before God, and it led to this feast where the most sacred temple vessels were used, and this seems to be the capstone of his sin against the Most High God. You know that old saying, the straw that broke the camel's back? That old camel can take a heavy load, but you know there's one straw that once you place on his back, he'll cave in. Did you know that? The old straw that broke the camel's back. I remember remarking to a waitress when she handed me a straw, I said, "Is that the straw that broke the camel's back?" She looked at me like, "What are you talking about?" He was young. But this was the straw that broke the camel's back. This use of the sacred vessels. And we see in this passage that Belshazzar has filled his 1,000 princes with wine. The room is noisy with praises. The room is noisy with the toasting of that wine to the gods of gold. One to the gods of gold, one to the gods of silver. Here's another one to the gods of wood and iron and of brass and of stone. But you know, right in the midst of that merriment, God intervened. He chose to intervene in the festivities, and everything changes in a moment of time. You know, stability is hard to come by in this world. You know, every day when you read the obituaries or read the newspaper, there was merriment 1 second and doom the next. Stability is hard to come by in this world. But merriment 1 second, and then all of a sudden all eyes were focused on the writing on the wall. Some eyes shifted to the king as his reaction was expressed throughout the 1,000. All eyes were focused on Belshazzar as his countenance is changed. His jaw drops. Fear is in his eyes. His body shakes. His knees are going back and forth in such a way as to cause fear to everyone on the scene. And we read of this in Daniel 5:5-9. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed. The loins are around the hips. And his knees smote one against another. You know, he was probably wearing a toga. So bare knee to bare knee. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. Oh, he liked those soothsayers. You know, sooth means pleasing, delightful, soothing, soft and sweet. We've got a lot of sooth today. You know, a lot of sooth. Beware of too much sooth. It'll get you every time, won't it, Pastor? Too much sooth. You know, we ought to put a sign, down with sooth. Beware of sooth. But that's what the king called for. His knees were shaking. His loins were loosed. He saw this on the wall, this unheard of message, this unheard of vision on the wall, and he needed comfort. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, "Whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck." Boy, he ought to come to today and see the chains of gold around men's necks. Pretty common, isn't it? Nowadays, they'd say, "Who needs that? Give me something else. Give me a new Porsche." "And shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." He didn't say he'll take over my job, but he said you could be the third ruler. Now, you know what's going to happen here, don't you? You remember Nebuchadnezzar's call to the wise men, the soothsayers, the astrologers, the Chaldeans? How successful they were? Well, it's not going to be any different. "Then came in all the king's wise men, and they could not read the writing, nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled," no solutions, "and his countenance was changed, and his lords were astonied." Now that means to be perplexed. Have you ever been perplexed? Have you ever been astonished? He didn't find any relief in his astrologers. So what's he going to do? He calls mommy. And that's what we find in the next passage. "Mommy, come and help me. I'm perplexed. I'm astonied. Some of this wine made me astonied, but I'm now astonied by this." That's what he does. He calls mommy. And we'll see what mommy does for Belshazzar next week. Because mommies always have a solution for their little boys. Do they not? What little boy doesn't run to his mommy? And this is what we see Belshazzar do. Quickly runs to mama, and mama soothes him as mamas do. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the light of your word. Father, we do not have to be ignorant. If we're ignorant, we choose to be ignorant. For there's so much light. There's light all around, Father, and if we avail ourselves of the light, you'll create in us a new heart and wash us whiter than snow. Bless us as we go to our service. Bless our pastor, Father. May he be loyal to your word today as he preaches to us. In Jesus' name, amen.